show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, how shall we practice spiraling into a chord at this time of really wild turbulence? To take this dangerous, opportune time to deeply delve, to be informed and curious, to let curiosity trump, you know, harumphitude, hone and imagine, critique and conjure. So, such a turbulent time, just right now, woohoo, armed white guys storming the Michigan State House now, state troopers are protecting the governor, QAnon conspiracy person arrested in plot to assassinate Biden, Republicans blocking the closing of meatpacking plants, and workers who refuse to work in unsafe circumstances will be stricken from unemployment money. Oh, oh, on and on. And absolutely, May Day is, you know, the in support of the workers at Whole Foods and Amazon. Whoops, I think we're here there. Are we here? Yes, I think so. Something just dropped out. Board up, let me know. La la. I think we're good. I think we're good.
You're good.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay. So it is a quirky time. It is a very quirky time. Thank you so much, Board Up. That's great. So, yeah, it is a dangerous time. And so beyond agreeing and disagreeing, approving and disapproving, is conversing, con with, verse turning. And as Venus is stationing square Neptune, every sane and insane story, illusion, delusion, infinite or finite game is in play. So let us be discerners. And one of our standards of discernment about everything, is it liberating or imprisoning the story, the words, the language? And the instructions of now are really the considering whereby to avert disaster is to re-wed Venus to Neptune, wafting collaborative kinship from the collective dream mind into public conversational mind. That's why I'm bringing in my wonderful guest in a moment. I just want to weave a little context for this. And that our communications be cooked down to run on the fuel of liberating blessing with spiciness, so giving voice to the dream. Right. So Pluto stationing, dredging up, customized circumstance designed to get our goat, and where we might get prickly, we might get prickly about somebody being prickly about something being prickly. Case in point, the movie Planet of the Humans, produced by Michael Moore, directed by Jeff Gibbs. So first, I read Josh Fox, friend of show, on the team, his more a rant than a critique about the movie, going, da-da-da. It didn't have tremendous specificity, but it was adamant about what a terrible movie this was and how it was a betrayal. I go, demanding it be taken down and generally gurry, right? So I go, can't tell. Let's find out, you know. We're all befoibled. I've certainly seen terrible things that Michael Moore has done. His Broadway show, for instance, was terrible. We all, you know, win some, lose some, so who knows? Critique is good, however. Art of conversing is highlighted. Best to assess everything for self. Autonomy is a sacrament. So I watched the movie. After watching Rick Tarnas's, also very related, pretty good offering that we'll offer some of on the now, and I was moved certainly by the dedication of the movie and delving into corruption. And there are many things to critique in a conversational and collegial way. There we go. That's right. But I found it a necessary contribution to public conversing, to dispelling delusion, and thematically timed right now. At the heart of the film, Vandana Shiva says it best. We're talking about the old oil economy trying to maintain itself now through another raw material, the burning of green plants, known as biomass or green biomass. She said, our minds are being managed to give power to illusions. That's very pertinent, right? Where are we being snookered? And I didn't know that biomass, you know, was, you know. So in watching the movie and then the reaction to it, which was, come on, team, let's up our level of civil discourse and pertinence, and at least, you know, if it's not a blessing, at least let it be a smart insult or contribute in some way to the spiral. And I wanted to bring in many great allies who are ancestors, Bob Goff and Pat Spears, and many voices, right? They were such great calm, renewable energy strategists who would not have had a problem with any of the revelations of complex corruption in the movie, but they would have had invaluable actuality to contribute from the Lakota wind farms. And the movie doesn't have a blessing exactly, right? And it isn't exactly trickster. So there are things we want to invite in for sure. And I was thinking, who is the most fun person to invite in the excluded voices of Big Mama Nature and discern and dive? And I go, oh, it's Karen Sanders. So liberating disillusionment. We have disillusionment. This is disillusionment. Conversational Aikido and the Story Storm. We are welcoming again Karen Sanders, host of the Herbal Highway on KPFA. Fantastic show. That we may diagnose the Planet of the Humans movie as a departure point and the reaction to it, rah, 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 and may the reaction become a response, and to invite in the necessary guiding voices, like Sir Herbert Reed, who says, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology. So we want to put that on our table. So we welcome Wei Wei Bodhisattva Coyote, and we welcome Karen Sanders. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yay. So, right, so we're in accord about the complexity of the movie, and we can use it as a departure point, but I did watch Michael Moore talking about it, you know, pretty calm, and he was talking about the word enough, and it reminded me the Peruvian women saying is the task of the women is to tell the men when to stop hunting. We have enough. And Michael Moore said enough is the dirtiest word in capitalism, and it's good for us to examine, you know, growth is the death of us because there's never enough. Anyway, so I thought I'd just toss to you anywhere you want to go, but enough.
No, I think it's true. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, I watched it and, you know, it was a Michael Moore movie. It's well, you know, he knew what he was talking about. He wasn't making stuff up. He's accurate. But I was just surprised at how angry people got about it, because it's just saying, okay, maybe we need to relook at something. You know, something we thought was going to work isn't working. So let's relook at it. And I think a lot of people don't know biomass means trees, basically.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What was it, 20 cords an hour? What
30. 30 cords an hour. If you know, that's like a stupendous amount of trees. And he said if you cut down the whole United States, someone was saying, it. If everyone had biomass across the United States, if you deforested the whole country, it would be 1 year of energy. You know?
Right. Right. The cutting of the trees. Yeah.
I mean, it's shocking. It's really shocking. But I think what's happened is, I was trying to think about this because you were saying, you know, how angry people were getting. And I was, you know, the environmental movement, I think when you're a movement or people who everyone's always coming at you, everyone's always telling you you're wrong or you're crazy or all those things, it gets to where if someone criticizes you, what you perceive as criticism, even if it's critique, it gets to be, oh, that's not okay. You know, because I've made this decision. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, you know, if you find out your spouse is cheating on you and you decide to stay, and then you get mad at anyone that's like going, well, what are you really? You know? So I think it's something to look at, because I don't think a lot of people know, like, solar is so finite. It uses all new metal. The panels only last so long. The batteries last a third of the time that they tell you. They're highly toxic. You know, where do we go?
Yeah, it is. It's just to look at it. And the critique coming in going, hey, he's using, you know, standards on solar panels from 10 years ago. And it's like, well, okay, we'll say that, you know, and inform. But again, I think it's like putting certain standards on our table. But yeah, people were also like, Andy's trashing and bashing environmental leaders. It's like, well, first, trashing and bashing are really reality police words used to shut down any conversation. And it was mild. It was like, you know, you're supporting biomass, important environmental leader. What do you know about it? Well, not enough really right now. Remember from the Anonymous and all common sense, anyone unchallenged will become tyrannical. So how do we challenge in a teammate way where the it's a dance and it wants to be a liberating blessing, although it might be spicy and challenging and difficult to be disillusioned. But yeah, so I thought the criticism, you know, was I was like, come on, team, that's a little thin-skinned, you know, and also the criticism was like, well, this is a gift to the fossil fuel industry. There are many, many reductionist headlines of a yelling vituperative sort. It was not really eloquent. It was a reaction, kind of a mob mind reaction rather than a response. I think it's also
to be surprised when there's big capitalist money involved in a lot of this, because you have to have it to get the starter money. So why would you be surprised that they want to make a profit, or that's their base point, you know? And you do need money. So there is that. But I think really what we need to talk about is, can we, as, you know, people in the United States, can we as Westerners, the people that are Western, be willing to change our lifestyle, what we think we need, because that's what the bottom line is going to come down to.
And that was again to address people's vitriol. It's like you can't really question the dedication of the filmmakers. I mean, I can't. Very sincere and a little earnest. Sincere being liberating, earnest being imprisoning. But the oil thing, I was like, I was sort of tilting my head like a dog puzzled by strange music, because what I gleaned was it was a revelation of the chicanery of the oil beings, including Al Gore, who started a business in 2004 in the Cayman Islands with, I think his name's Richard, but his last name is Blood. And the narrator did say, so it's Blood and Gore, as an environmental investment firm founded in the Caymans. And we go, yeah. And it's good to, I don't agree with their like, but all it was doing at this powerful inward time of reassessing was posing, you know, are we a smart enough species to self-limit? And the fact that people get so angry about that, you know, it's like, that's a worthy thing. That's a worthy thing to go way deep inside, you know?
And if you're someone that can have critical thinking, which we're finding out there are a lot of people in the States that can't right now, but this whole pandemic is about critical thinking, about really what's important. You know, what do we need? Do we really need all this stuff? Do we really care? You know, who do we take care of? So it's bringing that up. But I think people don't know. I didn't know. When I was in Vermont last, I was with my friend Sylvia, and her teacher, an Abenaki woman, said, I want to take you to the huge wind turbines that I think not a lot of people, but maybe on the East Coast knew about. That went in and that's running Burlington, basically, they say, and the biomass plant. So we drove, and it's hours and hours away, and they put it way at the top of Vermont, which is its poorest part. Gorgeous, you know. And we had to go down these roads and through mud and all this, and we get to this field, and there's like, I don't forget how many, and she is very impassioned about this, because, you know, you don't harm the land to do stuff. And they chained themselves to the turbines. You know, they tried to stop this. A lot of people did. And she was telling me, I'm looking at this mountain. I go, why is it flat? She goes, because they took 10 to 12 feet off the entire mountain. It's like coal to put these up. And then half of them weren't running. She said some because they break down constantly. Some because if they're all running at once, it's too much. And the other thing was the ground was, it was shaking like an earthquake. I've been in many earthquakes, so I know it felt like an earthquake was like just when it starts to happen. And your body, it felt bad immediately. And there was hardly any animals because who had lived there? And I look over and there's a house, you know, like a quarter mile from, not even from where we're standing, maybe I would say an acre and a half. And, you know, who can't move. And so I don't think people realize, like, not only is it what it's doing to get up there, but it doesn't even function properly.
But and then we're afeared of agreeing with any Trump thing going, no, the windmills are, you give you cancer. No, they don't give you cancer. But yeah, so we throw that into the cauldron. We are let us be unimpeded in our curiosity. Just to know, and again, people were reactive about, well, he's trashing all greens, and but we can step in to add more, but to put the known corruption on the table. And, yeah, you know, I began, you know, from sort of cleaning the fish tank and tidying the house while watching the movie to kind of rapidly taking notes. And that's why happy to converse with people, and certainly with Karen, going, it's worthy of conversing. Not perfect, before, but worthy. And I did learn a lot. Going, oh, and just as you were just saying, anywhere there's humans, there's going to be skullduggery, and we want to just be wary and watching it, and then using that knowledge to go, well, here's the correctives, or here's what we put on the table. And for our net choreography now, I mean, Venus is stationing square Neptune, so every insane thing, but we want to envision the desirable. But it's trining Mars. Mars is energy, heroism, desire, eros, fuel, the fuel on which we run personally, symbolically, you know, and then literally the fuel our culture runs on. And Big Mama says, you know, let's put on the standard that any fuel we run on be in accord, be in relationship to everything, be beautiful. In fact, let's just put these things there, and in some, because part of why I wanted so much to have you converse, because of course the big excluded from everybody's reactions and films and everything is that which is most dear, which is the voice of nature's evolutionary genius, the call and response, the collaborative opportunity. So I wanted to toss that back to yourself, going, we want to, because that's the sine qua non, the thing, yeah, that isn't spoken of by, you know, I don't know, white enviro so much, or anybody, except for indigenuity. So that voice, because it's speaking now, you know, Mercury Uranus conjunction. Yes, back to you.
Well, it's just, I think what's interesting is, yeah, we're going to have something. But I don't think people realize, you know, what really struck me in that film was people's attitude to land. You know, as if, well, this, what's the big deal? We need energy, even the new energy. And people's, you know, when they were talking about the desert, as if, oh, there's nothing here. You know, it's just this dry place. There's not life here. You know, oh, it's just a mountaintop. Oh, what's 30 cords of wood? I wish I knew how many trees. It's an unfathomable amount of trees. So, yeah, you know, obviously that can't be ongoing, sustainable, because you're doing the same thing. You know, you're basically raping the land. So what do we come up with? And part of the solution is what you and I are going to talk about, which is people have to change their paradigm, their attitude, what they think they need. Do you really have to be on your iPad all day? Do you really have to have your phone be tied to you and functioning at all times, which is not what happened when I was a kid, nor when you were, you know? So
I'm sorry, say that again.
I mean, can we go back to a more sane time, you know, where technology has its place, but it doesn't need to be constant, you know?
Right. Well, again, you know, over and over from last week and from 30 years where I've held this quote from Sir Herbert Reed Deer, you know, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted, yeah, with technology. And so let's just put this on our table, team, you know, and as things come along, that's the sifting standard going, and then, you know, to us, yeah, it's like, yes, the thrall, we want to count, there's so much information, right? And friends of mine went to a great lecture on barn owls. There was a guest barn owl there, apparently, voluntarily. It couldn't go back to the wild because of a broken wing. But the owl handler said, this owl can hear every one of your 50 heartbeats in this room.
Wow.
And then it can use every feather, like a satellite dish, but better, to focus and calibrate its listening through its feathers on the one heartbeat among the 50 that it wants to concentrate on. It's like, oh. Wow. So I think that's kind of now, that's a metaphor. All natural facts are metaphorically available to us. So it's like this overwhelming information deluge. And it's like, let's be like the barn owl. And we take our feathers now, you know, and like a fantastic barn owl array, we focus it on the frequency that we would like to be attuned to. Everybody yeah. customized, right? I mean, the amount of information. I mean, I was just going to post our show on Twitter when it was like, you know, Governor Widmer hiding from armed insurgents in the Michigan State House. It's like anytime you go there, it's like, oh my God, you know, it's not just like the generic news, right? Which is, it's the oh my God, like, oh, and the roiling, and I think. That's why we kind of want to put on our experimental table of discernment, too, about that we all be agents of calm, aspiring response in a hot, reactive world, going, right, you know, it's a very crossroads.
Well, it also comes down to presence. You know, everyone's like, oh, owls, well, that's ridiculous. Of course they can do that. How can we? But anybody, it's called being present. I mean, you can tune in anything if you're present.
I felt all our listeners moving their feathers just now. We're all doing it together. They're calibrating. Well, we're calibrating on this conversation, but then others too. But it's a time where everything's talking to us, and all the notes and authors and conversations that I've ever had are important. So, there's just a wonderful book called Flash of the Spirit by Robert Ferris Thompson. It's African Spirituality in America, but it's Eshu and, you know, Eshu Alegba. But this quote I've always loved, this means that one must cultivate the art of recognizing significant communications, knowing what is truth and what is falsehood, or else the lessons of the crossroads, the point where doors open or close, where persons have to make decisions that may forever after affect their lives, will be lost. Yeah. So we might say it in a liberating reframe, but I love its seriousness, you know, the art of recognizing significant communication. And that's what we want to kind of calibrate to, going, oh. And maybe welcome things so that when we see a Michael Moore film and see nothing, but part of what I keep running into in self and others is we can say things, right, but then we get to experience it. So part of the Uranus dynamic deconditioning for all of us is that nothing matches expectations. Nothing. People are like, yeah. Oh, this isn't what I thought it would be. Perfect. No, nothing is. You know, and then even when you tell self and others that, people are like, oh, I'm so disappointed. It's not what I expected it to be. Perfect. Uranus goes, perfect. If it was what you expected, it would be terrible. There's a disruption. And then what it wants to be, of course, is a liberating. And I think, well, there's you, Gemini rising. Venus is right on your ascendant. I love that. And just for the fun of it, do you know the Sabian symbol for your fantastic rising sign?
No.
So wonderful. It's a woman reading a beautifully illuminated alchemical text with the aid of a magnifying glass, the attempt to bring the mystery of life into sharp focus. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's perfect.
It's very you. And Venus is stationing there right around now. And see, the Venus cycle, Venus in Gemini, the lungs, right? Square Neptune, water, right? So either we want to imagine things or our lungs, we will drown, right? On every kind of literal, metaphoric level. But it's, you know, that's the disaster. But where's the considering?
You know what's interesting, Caroline, is... Just I watch the film, I get the critiques, you know, I get people got really mad. I don't think he was saying anything that was inaccurate. So that part, nobody's been able to say, well, that's not right. But I think what's fascinating is there's no critique of looking at the film, you know, from like a paradigm of just class, because where these things are put, who gets left behind? You know, it's like poor working class people. You know, where did they choose to put it in Vermont? Not right on the water where these beautiful homes are, which would have made sense. It's wind and that lake has tons of wind coming off that lake, Champlain. No, they put it in the north where it's the poorest part. So I think we need to critique, even if we're going to do this stuff, you know, who gets affected by this?
Well, and is it good for everyone? I mean, let's just put some real ideals. Idealism is extremely practical. Is this good for everybody? Meaning the mice and the thing and the humans and the and that invitation, this call and response to going, all right, well, this is befoibled and this is corrupt, and what could we do? And the Saturn, the limiting. You know, to inhale our own species limits and to wonder about that, because Saturn is limits and also leadership and authority and authoritarian, right? So it's like the second century writers said, pandemics occur when tyrants are in power. And we go, it is related. It is related. Boundaries, limits, manners, not crossing boundaries.
And choices. It's interesting. It's like, okay, so you're putting all this stuff up, even the green stuff. But if you go around towns and cities, there's all these malls that are just sitting there. There's all these parking lots that didn't work that are shut down. There's all these hotels. So it's like, why aren't you raising them and putting them there? You know what I mean? Why is it, you know, why can't you put them right there? You've already got this land that's been trashed. You know, if you're not going to let it come back to anything, then use it. You know, use it for something like that. And I think that's, for me, that's really frustrating. But I think I would just want to keep coming back to the biggest picture is, are we as humans willing to say we don't get to have every little thing we want? We need to look at what we really want. You know, some of the stuff we want is ridiculous. And are we willing, in order for things to survive, in order for the best for everyone on the planet, are we willing to have less?
Or limits, which might be more, right? I mean, again, it's some limits give greater freedom, some focus. You know, it is all a dance. So, you know, and what I found, you know, kind of like, come on, team, dismaying about the, you know, chest thumping, hyperbolic, plus fainting couch, betrayed, reaction is all of us. Team, agreeing, disagreeing, okay, but conversing, because all we've got now is to elect a story, right? But that's great, right? Right, where no matter what, the characters may come and go. You know, Biden and Trump might not make it to November, or they might. You know, we don't know. We think there's an election, but electing a story. So for everyone to be conversant, you know, and to weave disparate and to welcome information rather than no, you know, go all right and go no, and that part is useful, and that part is 10 years outdated, and that part is. Depressing, and the orangutans at the end was really haunting and terrible. But where's the blessing and things to do? With the movie and with everything, I think it's like that there is no one narrative, no one narrator, no one story that's complete. You know, right?
We're at the point where people need to start going. You know, we did this, it didn't work. You know, it's not working. We're destroying the planet. And look and stop and pause and go, gee, did anyone ever live on this planet in a way that didn't harm it? Yes. There were quite a few people all over this planet that knew how to live without harming it. And that's the paradigm that needs to be grabbed, because it has to be a complete shift. It's not going to work if we're just going to take that out, or we're going to do a little bit, you know. There really needs to be a big, huge shift. And I think that's what's getting people so upset, is that they might, you know, you can't change something without sacrifice. Like, nothing gets to change without sacrifice. And that's not a bad thing. That's just part of the energetic of it all.
Right. You know, or as a Jungian friend of mine used to say, no decent enlivening without risk, right?
Yeah.
So, well, we want to come back. Yeah, sacrifice, risk, limits, critique, nuance, extracting what's good, you know, weaving it with other things, informing things, conversing team. My perfect for today and, well, every day, really, guest is Karen Sanders, a fellow host on KPFA of The Herbal Highway. We are doing disillusionment, and we'll be right back after our very short, heartening Taj music break.
Sheesh! shook the constellations and dazzled them crossed his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them crossed his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Chanty, chanty, come blow my chanty home. Telegraph my indigo skyship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Our wonderful guest today is Karen Sanders, a host of KPFA's Herbal Highway on Tuesday, for now. That we may diagnose the Planet of the Humans movie and the reaction to it, and to invite in the necessary guiding voices. Right at this, you know, turbulent, interesting time. So, according to the choreography, I mean, it is call and response, as you were saying, you know, to limit our overwhelming, well, the hip. I guess another standard is it toxic or tonic, right? The information, yeah. The film, part of the film, the whatever the, and so I don't quite. I mean, were people where you just left us appropriately, you know, in the film and in our council assessment, going, we tried things that didn't work. I don't quite go there with Michael Moore going, all right, but we do got to know about the corruption and the expense and the inefficiency and the delusional aspects of what has passes for green energy. We got to know that, and the film's an invaluable contribution in that realm. Going, you gotta. No. And then critique about this, you know, this factoid was 10 years out of date. Okay. But still, some really important things and some deep, timely things. And then, you know, again, I would like just our team to compost hyperreactivity and bull primate chest thumping and betrayal, you know, and, oh, he was my hero, now he's not my hero. No, let's not have heroes. Let's throw heroes into the cauldron. We have narrators, and
just he's human. It's ridiculous. It's like, you know, so he says something you don't like, so now he's, you know, banished. It's so ridiculous. And he didn't say anything inaccurate. He might have said things that are like, okay, that was 10 years ago, but doesn't mean they're perfect now. Nobody's saying, oh, but that's all gone. I didn't hear that. So I don't think it's been fully corrected. It's just maybe not as bad as he said.
Right. You know? And again, just, you know, the heat. But this brings us to another really crucial thing, I think, to put on our discernment table, everybody, you know, which is, what's a distraction? You know, and what is a distraction? Yeah. What is it distracting us from? And so very often the heat, the reactive heat, is a huge distraction from, you know, not dealing with content, you know, or discernment, or the climate of can we embrace? Yeah, what you were touching on it, but can we embrace criticism? You know, in the astrological realm, you know, Virgo is the realm of critic, analyst, healer, right? So let it be that our criticism be intended to heal rather than just flailing around, you know, both in, you know, creating something and in responding to what one sees as created. You know, may it be diagnostic, you know, critical, you know, and I think critical spice. I mean, I think it's wonderful to have friends who hold us to our standards and tell us when we blew it, you know, in a trustworthy fashion, and to create a climate where that kind of conversing can take place. Well, it's very, and it is the restoration of manners. But yeah, as you were saying, and I want to toss it back to you on this one. But you know, so there's the human noise, right? But everybody's, I think we could say almost everybody. Well, it's available. It's available to everybody. Is the, you know, to walk out and there's the coyote in the street, or there's the, yeah. You know, when my dogs often tell me to turn off the TV, and I go, you have the higher moral authority, you do, right? And we go outside and there's the owl right away. Toot, 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 toot. I'm like, oh, thank you. That's so great. we still get goosebumps from just our cross-species hello. Hi there. Hello. You know, I was answering the owl. I don't know if you thought I was available. But cross-species dating. Cross-species dating. We're up for that. But it is, again, you know, where I want to toss to you this pragmatic mysticism, this willing to partner with what we love. Oh, and an important telepathic ally also says, says, come back here. Perhaps Karen has a remedy for calming people yelling about Moore's film. That's good.
Yes,
that's good specific.
A little lizard medicine.
Herbals.
Take a little passion flower, you know, but...
Oh, that's great.
It takes some passion flower, but you know, it's just a matter of, you know, Westerners are very dogmatic, you know, and they have a hard time with adaptation and going, okay, that's not working. Let's just change that. Or let's just like throw that out and bring this in. I don't think Michael Moore was saying, green energy bad. That's not what the film was saying. They were saying the form it took didn't work. We need to go back to the drawing board or stay at the drawing board, you know?
Yeah. And there's language crafting around that. But yeah, I mean, that's what we distill from it, which is the sensible thing. Yeah.
And also just, you know, it really does come down to, I think people think, well, if we just have green energy, we can have as much as we want and we don't have to change one iota. And no, the thing is, it's not working, folks. We got to stop living the way we live. We got to stop being a consumer, you know, people. And we really need to look inside ourselves and make great change and make great sacrifice. And let's just face it, you know, Americans aren't big on that, you know.
I think without lying, we can use our linguistic skills to be magnetizing and to speak to that in ourselves and others that we want to invite to dance. And, you know, and I remember, you know, again, the Yes Men who've often done fantastic public pranks in which they revealed intrinsic hidden goodness when they dressed up as WTO people and went to address the international conference of accountants in Australia and said, world trade, and then they said, we're played out on greed and we've come to ask for your help to design an economy, a global economy that's good for everybody. And everybody in the audience threw up their hats and goes, yes, we want to do that too. We do.
Yeah.
You know, and so there is a willingness. And so if that's sacrifice, which means to etymology, to make sacred, but it's true when you use the word, people are jumpy about that. So what is your definition of sacrifice?
Well, to me, the definition of sacrifice is to be willing to live in a way that everyone has enough. You know?
That's good.
That's sacrifice.
Which could be great,
you know,
and great pleasure. That would be a sacred thing.
And, yeah. You know, you care about the other person and you want to know, you know, so it's really not sacrifice. If you're raised to think the whole is more important than the individual, which is, you know, native thought all over, then it's not, you don't see it as sacrifice. You see it as, that's the way to go. That's right action. You know?
Right. And just many, many, many voices. Venus Gemini is very, very, Iris, the rainbow goddess, from which we get the word iridescent, because she doesn't live in the underworld and she doesn't live in heaven, so she can take messages between them, right? And that's part of our what's available in frequency going, don't belong anywhere, can be a message between all those beings. And to include also, you know, what has been excluded from the film kerfuffle or the film itself or the reaction to it or life in general, whimsy, symbolic, pragmatic, magic, whimsy, I think would do well to invite her back in, because I do find it effective. Well, like when you just said, take some passion flower, and I go, I just did. And then, you know, I was, you know, in the last couple of days, every then that I was grumpy about something, goat got, so I had to see my goat coming back, but going, oh, I feel pissy, right? And then I was like, have you cleaned the cat litter? And I go, no, what a good idea. I cleaned the cat litter and I felt much less pissy. So it's a whimsical, and I love Terry Pratchett's witches saying to make shambles. And shambles are a magical thing that you assemble from just apparently ordinary stuff. A key, a ball of dust, you know, an old necklace, a thing. You make a shambles with it. And I think that's very now, you know, like everybody you know, at home. Well, they're wonderful creative things that people have done that we see online, people, you know, with whatever's on hand, right? Making fantastic, you know, staging paintings and whatnot, but it just makes you proud to be human. It's like so clever. And I just remember my friend Carmen saying, who was a, you know, hard scrabble creative, hello, wherever you are, Carmen, creative, witchy, hard scrabble, single mom artist. And she said, you know, when I was really broke, as she often was periodically, she said, I was really more creative. And then, you know, somewhere in KPFA land, I was listening to a show, and the person was saying, there's many cultures have a particular word for the kind of ingenuity that comes out of scarcity. And in this regard, Americans are really impoverished. You know, it's like, you know, in another country, you go, you need to charge your phone. Here's an apple, some apple cider vinegar, you know, a piece of wire, and a bicycle. There you go. There you go. And so everybody now, there is this inventiveness, and you know, everybody's got a different assignment, their little homes, you know. But how is the nature world outside your house?
Oh, it's beautiful. You know, it's different. You know, the neighbor just... I have a creek, so periodically the mountain lions, because we have quite a few, take down a deer. And so one you know, they take them down the creek because, hello, that's where they're drinking and their heads are down, so it's the easier way to get them. And, you know, it just struck me like they're coming closer again, because for a while they pulled back because the road I live on used to have five people that lived here full time in a 3-mile stretch, and now it's every single house and cars and... The bears started to disappear, the mountain lions, and I noticed they're starting to come in again, you know? And it's that life, it's spring, you know? So everything's coming up. But it's interesting because I'm seeing more of everything again because there's less cars on the road, there's less people out, there's less track, you know? All the things that push animals and insects and everything away has been back down a little bit. And so it's more in balance, you know? We're not causing as much harm, just in our being and in our presence.
And I bet, you know, again, when we put down the screens for a moment, you know, that we're being recalibrated, you know, like the
yes.
And available. And just to explore, again, what's been excluded, you know, all of our skills, our language skills, our dreaming skills, you know, and, you know, cooperators are standing by. There's a lot of them right now. Venus stationing really wants our attention. She's going to be journeying into the underworld in June. She disappears from the night sky. It's always poignant. She's been so beautiful. But she's going to go set the next Venus cycle, which is Gemini. It's love and kinship with its voice, you know, and she's going to go descend into the underworld and come back as the morning star in June with language crafting. And so for all of us, you know, what do we want to be a voice for? And today, Venus has a quintile, irresistible eloquence and opening portals between worlds, to Chiron, a little planetoid, convener of the Asclepion. And we go, right, this is a way to honor our rational thinking and our dreaming minds, they love each other. Those are false estrangements. So it says for everybody, Chiron goes, everybody gets an all-access backstage pass to the Asclepion tonight. You know, put a piece of paper and a pencil beside your bed without expectation, right? Just with like, oh, whatever. I'm available to receive the message, but I'm disappointment-proof. There we go. I'm available.
Yeah.
And it's like, because that's where people went at a time like now, you know, personally or big like now. And they would calm themselves with rhodiola root tea, and then they would intend to have a healing dream for themselves and their community, right? For self and others, that's the whole.
I'm saying just don't. It's also a great time these next 2.5 weeks because we're in Taurus, which is all about presence because Taurians love. Mm. It's all tactile. It's all, you know, hearing and feeling and touching and smelling, and those take presence. You know, you have to be present in order to do that. And so I think it's a great time to receive messages when you're fully present. you know, instead of kind of half out there. So, you know, it's a nice combo because that's what it's going to take to change things is people becoming present again. And what's happening for a lot of people I know is they're saying they're realizing how much the most they value, you know, now that everything's there in the house, they can't do this. But the thing everyone that I know is valuing the most is contact with beloveds, you know, realizing I don't really care about other things as long as I can, like, you know, hear or know or see or, you know, how are the people I love doing? How are my neighbors doing?
Yeah. And again, the boundaries can increase the affectionate intimacy. Hi there. Some of my masks are a little scary. They're panthers with bared teeth. And so it's like, no, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to frighten you. I want to tone that down a little. But in the greeting sense, and might you say that what you say present, is that related also to embodied?
Yeah. Well, we're always embodied. It's just a matter of do we notice or not. I mean, we are always connected to everything. You know, you either choose or know how to feel the wind blow through you, or you think it goes around you. You know, we are connected constantly to everything in the universe, and it's connected to us. It's energy. There's no disconnect. So it's just a matter of what we're doing, slowing down enough to actually realize the connection. You know, to realize, when you're there's no limit to how far you can go out there in thought and feel once that connection is obvious to you, you know? And I think that's what needs to happen. I think that's, you know, it comes down to even just this movie of the disconnect of being afraid of somebody critiquing something or someone saying, hey, that doesn't work. That hasn't worked. We need to go further. You know, I think there's this fear or something. You know, what is so scary to hear that? Why is that so scary? You know, he's not saying don't be green.
No, it's from a fundamental shared the unifying. It's from a shared concern for our kin. I mean, all of us are kin on this planet, and that's why I don't think one can attack the sincerity or the earnestness. Yeah, and then also, so we get, after delving into corruption and sifting through it and going, well, that's not right, that's really right, you know, then we get to ask questions, right? Yeah. Here's the flexibility part going, oh, so, and questions and wonder. I mean, the quest begins with a question. So it's like, so how do we proceed from here? You know, and you know, so many scientists, you know, receive their solution in dreams, right? Intellect and dreams and mysticism, very happy together. You know, the guy dreaming of the ozone, the Ouroboros, the snake biting its tail, woke up a chemist going, it's the benzene ring, I've seen it. You know? So where would we want genius and dreams in a contribute to collective well-being kind of way, you know, whatever's best for everybody, come on in, there we go. That's a surprise.
You know, and that's the key, whatever's best for everyone. Because think about it, if the baseline, they were told, go as far as you can go, but the baseline is cause no harm. We have to think about, can we have this without destroying something? You know, and that wasn't thought about. So, you know, I think you have to have baselines of things, you know, you know, concern and connection and the welfare of all.
Right. And some very simple things just to play with and put on our table. Whatever we do, we get more of. Right. The more war, more war, more peace, more peace, more fighting, more fighting, more, you know, and language is part of the invocative conduit, you know, that's why I mean, it's tricky, right? I don't want to get snarky about people being snarky about people, you know, but it's like, I invite myself and others just to compost the war battle, the hot thing as a mean trick of the reality police to prevent intelligence from entering into the spiral dance. Come on, team. And then the one, I mean, rather than go, oh no, tantrum yoga, but to go, look at that corrupt thing. Didn't know about that. Okay. I wonder how we proceed from here. Yes, calmly, informed, nuanced, discerning. Yes, these are medicines we want to waft out there and Garen, feel as you say, you know, any passion flower, anything that you recommend from your literal and metaphoric herbal guiding from the plant world, you know, anything that would make us better citizens. So you said passion flower because I know Micah sent me some and told me the quality of it, but you said passion flower for people not being too hot headed in response to, you know,
and I think wolfberry because wolfberry gives us a sense of who we are. And our territory, and in our territory, our connection to others, you know, because in moving forward with anything, we have to have the baseline of, is this going to affect people in a negative way? You know, is a few going to prosper and the rest not? And I think that's what just needs to be looked at is we have to have baseline checks on everything. But with from a moral standpoint of, you know, the whole is more important than the individual. So, yeah, there are a lot of plans for that. It's called self-looking. That's why wolfberry is about personal power. You know, real personal power makes you care about somebody else.
Ah, lovely.
You know, when you're in that.
And I'll say that again because I want to absorb that. Being
so real power, you know, which is personal power. So when you're in real power, which is... You sense the connection of all because you sense your own territory and those are near it. It makes you care, you know, because you're coming from a right place. You're not coming from fear. You're not coming from lack of. You're coming from, wow, this is me and I'm huge and I'm, you know, got the universe roiling through me. And so then it includes everything. It makes you compassionately aware of everything that is with you, which is, you know, the planet we live on and those on it, all beings on it.
And dedicating all of our skills, you know, are going, this is a deep time. And again, here it is also too, because what Rick Tarnas had to say in his also free online YouTube talk about, you know, the planetary patterns of now, and he's a super sharp, smart guy, and a indefatigable researcher. And so, I liked what I distilled about the Saturn-Pluto conjunction that astrologers have been having intelligent discourse about for decades, really, this one. He said, you got to feel that everything's on the line or it won't have the psychological power. And it's like, oh, that's good. I get a little goosebumps on that. And I would trickster rephrase it a bit. You know, feeling that everything's on the line invites in our willingness to collaborate with the trickster dynamic. But
or you could do it another way and say, you got to feel that everything is your relative.
That's even better. That's right. We evolved. That's right. Everything's your relative. You got to, and that your relatives' lives are on the line, which is true, right? I mean, again, we do want to know. We want to know terrible things, and it's true. Me and many people. I think in our conversing too. You know, it's like I have the hardest time of, you know, cruelty to animals. The hardest time. I mean, cruelty to humans, yes, terrible, terrible. But animals, no. If somebody is mean to a dog on the first page of a detective novel, that's it. That's it. I'm not trusting that author. So, you know, it is. And how shall we partner? And you know, and for people to know that at the end of the film, there's some very sad.
I told my friend because she wanted to watch and then listen. I said, don't listen to the last part of the film. Don't watch it. It's going to just give you nightmares. I'm lucky. I, for some reason, turned it up before that. I didn't even know it was happening.
Yeah. And it's true. I don't know what to say about that. It's like, you know, if there's horror, do we all want to know it? Some of us, we spell each other.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, I have the image seared into my brain. And
you don't have to. For us, unfortunately.
Right. So, but we do got to know so that our hearts break open.
Well, that's the thing. You have to, you know, in the old days when there was actually news on television and you had to have facts and it was checked, they showed everything that was going on. They showed war. And so people, while they're eating dinner, were watching what we really do in war, and it stopped wars. Because when you actually have to look something in the eye that is so awful and horrendous, it makes you have action. It makes you kind of go, no, even if you don't agree. But, you know, that's been taken. So we have to come back to saying, yeah, things have to be exposed, you know?
Yeah.
But you don't have to say, if you're the one exposing, you don't have to kill the messenger, you know?
Right. Yeah. And again, can sift through it. Right. And see, right now, where we're all getting cooked, Pluto, cooked into authenticity. Everything's going away. Like, oh, the big beings say anything outward from which you derive your identity, that's not a safe investment. Right. And it's like,
there goes that thing. You know, like,
well, it is, you know, it
in
is,
order
you know,
to change, that, I mean, that's the, hmm? Yeah. Change is hard. Change is frightening because we do like comfort. We do like routine because it's comfortable.
Yeah. Although I like the thing from, what was the thing that was awfully manipulative, but really good anyway. But where they said, imagine yourself, you know, it's kind of a Pierzia thing too. Imagine yourself swinging forward at high velocity into change in a way that is exultant. We go, woohoo. Just to broaden our repertoire, and then imagine you're on your own little hearth with a chipmunk eating soup, and it's wuzza wuzza. You know, it's like we want a wide.
Oh, that's such a nice image. I would love to have dinner with a chipmunk tonight. Like
having soup. Well, I'm sure that's available to all of us. And then just sneaking in, you know, Rick Tarnas also said Saturn Pluto is the capacity for sustained effort and determination. And that's kind of what the film was calling for, you know, and the weight of history on our shoulders that we have great work to do. Intense focus and discipline to mobilize collective will for sustained periods of time. That's why it's like all that response is like, no, we're all training for intense focus and discipline to mobilize collective will, to elect a story, you know, to be that always welcomes critique, you know, for sustained periods of time. There we go. Direct will and mobilize energy on behalf of all creation. But I give you the last anything you want to say in a few seconds.
I think it's just we have to keep trying. We have to keep changing. And we just need to come up with a society that causes no harm. You know, that's not a bad thing. You know,
it's a beautiful thing.
It's going to take, you know, that's what the bottom line is. Can we have societies and culture that causes no harm?
No, it's our deepest yearning, really, within everybody. I'm sorry. Yes.
No, I'm just saying that's honestly, my dream, you know.
That is a good dream. That is a good dream, and we waft it out. We waft it out to our dedicated listeners. Thank you so much, team. I'm Caroline Casey. This is the Visionary Activist Show. That was our wonderful, wonderful ally, Karen Sanders, who has her show on KPFA on Tuesdays for now, Herbal Highway. We will reconvene next week with Michael Stewart Ani, and again, mobilizing information to embrace our allies in the rainforest and the Amazon. Here we go. Thank you, team, and thank you, Rod.
Oh, yeah, yeah.